Raise your hand if you've ever pissed off a client or had a client situation that made you want to crawl in a cave and never show your face again.
Both our hands are up, and we're pretty sure so is every service provider out there. In this episode, we're sharing real stories from service providers and the lessons they learned through tough situations.
Being an online business owner is full of ups and downs. Some days you can't imagine going back to your 9-to-5, and other days you want to burn your whole business to the ground. We get it.
Welcome to Chaos to Conversions, a podcast of practical, no BS strategies to grow your online business. Each week we're chatting about launching, copywriting, mindset, and more, so you can make sense of the chaos and do more of what works.
Join the conversation and let's grow together. We are excited about this episode because we're going to be sharing some real stories from our Instagram audience about bad client experiences. To keep everything anonymous, we aren't mentioning names, and we've transcribed any audio messages we've received so the voices can't be identified.
We also want to say that this episode isn't about us shitting on our clients, ours, or anyone else's. The purpose of this episode is a bit of entertainment, but mostly relatability. We've all had shitty client experiences, and as terrible as they are in the moment, they can also teach us big lessons for our business.
Use this episode to feel less alone about any client from hell situations you've been through, and also to reflect on how you can add more boundaries and protections in your business to create less friction in the future.
With that in mind, let's jump into the stories. Okay, so this first story is a message we actually got on Instagram. Someone sent us a voice message. So we're going to read the story for you. I got connected with a client via Upwork who worked in the interior design space and have created an online course. She wanted me to create course resources like printables and deliverables to help students process the information. Great. I was a teacher for 10 years. I have my degree in curriculum and instruction. So the client sent me the slides for the course, but the slides had zero information on them. The slides just have these horrible stock photos from the early 2000s, and it just says, find your people. And the next slide says, like, price your packages, but there's zero actual information. So I emailed the client back, and I'm like, hey, can I get access to the course so I can actually see the information? And the gal responds, oh, well, I didn't realize you'd actually need access to the course. I'm thinking, you didn't realize I would need access to the course in order to create materials for said course. She also didn't provide me with any sort of outline or any other information. She expected me to just have knowledge about interior design and create the resources. It was awful. Let's just say that contract ended early, and I learned a very valuable lesson about setting expectations upfront in a discovery call. Okay, so when I first heard this story, I actually found it really relatable, and I texted this person back and I was like, I have been there. And not that I think I've had a bunch of horrible client experiences, but I definitely feel like, especially in the first year of my business, I wasn't so great at setting expectations with people. So I would end up in really just weird situations where I'm like, well, why wouldn't I need that information? Or why wouldn't you give me that? It just seemed like they should know that they need to send me the information about their course. But I never really told them that. And I actually took a course about kind of a client experience. And one of the things that she says in the course is sometimes you are part of the problem. And that being that we don't always say exactly what we need from people. We just expect they're going to know that. And that creates friction with clients because they often don't know, right? They're not the service provider. So I think this is a really classic case of being really clear with the expectations that you set before walking into a project.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, sometimes I still find myself there, but like you were mentioning, it has gotten way better since, you know, being in business now going on my, I guess, fourth year. But I would often also just say like, yes to doing all of the things, especially since I started as a general virtual assistant. And sometimes, you know, you'll find people who take advantage, so to speak, of being a people pleaser, which I am. So I will, and I think a lot of us are. So just continuing to say yes to things until you get to like a point of resentment. It's one of the details I've had to be super clear about because I didn't used to be as clear about this either. In both my launch strategy sessions and my launch management packages, like I do not write copy. And a lot of times clients would think like with launch management, I would not only manage the entire you know, project of a launch, but also make their slide deck for them and write their sales page and all their emails. And I mean, you really, like, you don't want me doing that. So I had to make sure that I was very, very, very clear, like in both discovery calls and also now in my proposals, like big, giant, bold letters. I can provide templates, but I will not write your copy. Like, you either need to hire somebody else or, you know, do it yourself. And that's totally fine too.
Yeah. I think that that's like the important takeaway here though. And like this person kind of mentions it at the end, like the valuable lesson is once you've learned, right, where things are going wrong in a project, that you pivot and you do something about it. And that's sometimes like the worst, the hard lessons, you know, I guess really the best lessons have to be learned the hard way. Like that's a story that will stick with you. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to forget the time that I had to end a contract early because I didn't tell them what I needed, or I was people pleasing the whole contract and I like hated it. Like I think that's the hard thing about being in business and being a people pleaser is finding the balance between, of course, you want every client to walk away happy with the project and you want them to go on and tell people how great the experience was, but also knowing where to like draw the line of like, okay, this is like, we're going off the rails here. You can't expect me to, like this person saying, create deliverables for a course that I know nothing about. That's unrealistic. But also right. I can see where maybe I didn't come fully prepared to tell you, hey, this is what I'm going to need from you. So
okay, this next story is also coming to us via an audio message, so I will read the transcription. It says, I was hired by a TPT seller to create covers, thumbnails, and previews for a few different product lines. The problem is that she wanted me to work in her Canva team's account, and basically what that meant for me is that she got to take my designs and use them as templates for the rest of her products without paying me for that work. So basically, she paid me to work on those, let's say three different products. I can't really remember what it was. But then when she was done with me, she basically just used my work as her templates. So now I know that I will always only work in my own Canva account. And if people want to keep the templates, then I have to triple the price of the template if they want to be able to keep it and reuse it. Otherwise, I'm not getting rehired, since I've been kicked out of her team's Canva account. So I think that the biggest lesson, and I think we've also, at least Brandon and I have definitely both been here, is a clear scope of work and making sure that you're charging what is appropriate. Because sometimes when the scope of work isn't super clear, it can be really easy to get out of hand and things to get out of hand. And like the longer it goes and the more you say yes to, the harder it is to speak up. And Brandon and I have this conversation. I feel like we've had this conversation off and on for the last 2 years because obviously we do two different things. And I know that some online business managers charge their packages as like deliverables, but I've personally always found it easier to charge my packages as like a range of hours. So like my packages, for example, say like not to exceed 30 hours of work, you know what I mean, in any given month, because sometimes I'm hiring for a retainer client. And, you know, that takes a lot of time if we're doing three discovery calls and onboarding them, but like sometimes we don't hire. So I can do like other things, you know, later on that may require less hours, if that makes sense. So like for me, I'm doing different things. Whereas Branda, for example, it's easier for her to be like, here are your emails. Here is your sales page copy.
Yeah. But even with that, I mean, there was a client that I did work with at one point where I kind of laid out the scope and it was my first time doing a really big package the way that I had. Before, it was always just like, I'm writing four emails for you. But this was the first time I was including strategy in that. And so pricing it was really hard because I didn't know how much to charge your strategy, how much time that was going to take for me. I didn't really know how to lay out the expectations really clear. And that caused a lot of friction with the client because what her idea of me doing things was and my idea was very different. And then I do often say, like, I'm going to do a certain amount of emails. And I've had to get a lot more through a lot of hard lessons learned, very clear about what those emails are and like what they do and do not include. Like a launch email is not the same price as a weekly email because they just require a different amount of effort. But again, with this client, that wasn't laid out and it was a lot more like willy-nilly. And like you said, the more I said yes to and the farther we got into the project, you know, months down the road, I'm like, I'm unhappy because I'm working so much more than I ever anticipated. And it just doesn't match what I'm, you know, charging for this. So yeah, I think this story is a really just classic example of knowing what something is worth and being really, really clear with the client on like why the pricing is different too. Cause I think sometimes clients think like, and someone else talks about this in a later story, like the bait and switch. They're like, well, why are the emails different prices? But I think it's important sometimes to explain, like, why is it a different price if I go in and make a template for you versus I create like one product cover for you? There is a difference in the price for that. And being able to explain that to them so they don't think you're trying to, you know, pull the wool over their eyes or something. Okay, this next story came to us as an Instagram DM. So I'm going to read what she sent us. I missed the mark on a gifts situation in an email that I was writing for a client. This was a case of not having deep enough intake. I was going back and forth on what to include in the email. And eventually when I sent it off, the client did not like the email drafts at all. And it was the first time that I'd missed the mark so badly for a client. I think in the end, I realized they just weren't ready to hire out. There was tension in every back and forth. And it felt like it wasn't about what it was really about, you know? I offboarded her in about 3 or 4 months. Okay, I really like this story because I think when I was reading the DM, and this is no like offense to the person who sent this in, but like when I read it, I was like, oh, that doesn't seem like such a big deal. So you got like a gift wrong in an email. But I know how I feel when I get feedback from a client and it's not them raving about the perfection of the project, right? I know how personal that can feel sometimes, or you just feel like, damn, I like let this person down and I wanted to nail this. So I totally understand that like anxiety that comes with not getting a project right. I recently had this happen with a project that I did. The client was happy with like 3 out of the 4 emails that I wrote, but one of them, she was just like, I don't love it. It didn't kind of fit with what I wanted. And my first feeling was kind of like disappointment and a little bit anxiety. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is she going to say to people? I don't want this to make me look bad. Like I want to make this right. But obviously, I've had experiences like this in the past, so I tried to take a step back and just address the situation and offer a solution. Like, here's what we can do to improve this. We still have revisions that we can be done. I'm happy to redo this email for you. I want you to walk away feeling really happy. And in the end, that's, you know, what happened with the project. So I think this is kind of a classic case of like, you're not going to nail everything, and that's perfectly okay. But also, sometimes people just aren't ready to let things go and pass things off in their business.
Definitely. And I worked with a retainer client a couple years ago that I think was a classic example of not being ready to let some things go. And I don't think we got a story about this, but I feel like I could have written my own story about ignoring red flags in a discovery call.
Oh, that's and, so true.
Yeah. And we can maybe do on a little segue on that, but she had some major red flags in the discovery call that all pointed to, not of course about her as a person, but they all pointed to her being not ready to let go of things in her business. Like, for example, I was her 3rd or 4th OBM in a year, maybe a year and a half. I don't quite remember because this was at this point over a year ago, 2 years ago that this discovery call was, but you know, I being occasionally the eternal optimist was like, well, I mean, she probably just didn't find the right fit. And like, of course I can fix all of the problems. But the longer we got into a contract together and the more we worked together, I think what I continued to see and for a period of time chose to ignore was that she just really was not ready to let a lot of things go in her business, which means that like, even though I had a very clear agenda for every meeting that we had, she would like spiral and talk about like going back and changing things that we had agreed upon last week. And even though like she said she was fine with it, after a week had passed, she wanted to talk about it more. And basically, we just talked in circles for the 9 months I worked with her until eventually I think it became apparent that like it wasn't going to work out, even though I was the longest standing OBM at the time that she had ever had, that it wasn't going to work out because she just couldn't let the little things in her business go, like the details about like how an email is going to get, you know, written and approved and scheduled. She wanted to be involved in every single aspect of it. So she really couldn't get out of her own way. And sometimes no matter how nice the person is, like it's just impossible to help them.
Yeah. And I think kind of going along with that too, it kind of coincides with like not being able to let things go. But sometimes when people hire a contractor, they see them as their employee. And that's just not what a contractor is. Unless you're hiring them to full-time work for you, you have other clients that you're working with and you really are setting the own your own processes for things. Obviously, if a client says, I kind of want things done this way, we can maneuver it with the process. But overall, you're saying these are the days that I'm off. These are the hours that I work. This is how I do things. And when you have a client who can't let go and she is kind of like, or he is micromanaging the situation and trying to kind of force you into how they do business, it's like, you have to learn to trust the expert. You hired me because you wanted my expertise. You wanted, you know, my skills that brought to the table. And if you can't let go and trust that I'm here to help you and I'm going to do my best as we work together, then it's just not the right time to hire.
Yeah. And I feel, not, I don't want to say bad. Again, that's me being like a people pleaser, but I mean, she needed help. She was a multi six-figure business owner with a lot going on and a big team. And her and I are not still in contact, but I can't help but wonder, like, did she ever, I don't want to say figure out that it was her, but that's kind of the only way that I can say it. You know what I mean? Like she was never going to be able to truly have the team that she should and actually, you know, take a break in her own business if she wasn't willing to trust the people that were on her team, the contractors that were on her team.
Yeah. And you're never going to feel successful with anyone that you hire.
Nope.
Yeah.
This is a story about a client that was a repeat client. The first time they came to me, they had just been taken advantage of by a VA who said she knew website design, but she clearly didn't. She totally botched the blog on Show It. The client had spent thousands of dollars on this VA. There was no contract and it was just a mess. So our copywriter caught that the blog was not set up correctly and the copywriter referred her to me. I was like, yeah, poor girl, I want to help. So I met with the client and she was like, if I'm going to have you do this, I want you to also do all of this other stuff. I talked to another website designer and she said that this was half a day of work. So she sends me the list of items and I'm like, that's definitely not half a day, more like two full dedicated days of work. So I was like, I work on a project basis, so I'll send you a quote on everything and we'll go from there. It ended up being a nightmare. Every time I did something, she had corrections. It was never functional issues. She just wanted to change things based on her preference. And there were so many little things that it consumed me. She would send me Voxer messages through the night with issues, and I would wake up to 10 to 15 messages. Anyways, the project wrapped up, and she comes back saying, I have something else that needs updated. I don't know why I thought this time would be different, but I said yes. So she needed an updated page on her website and I started working on things and I'm loving it. I love the design. But then the same thing happens again. I'm getting 10 to 15 messages a day, 10 minute looms. And I had to get stern. I had to say, if this isn't a functional issue, I'm not changing it. And obviously she wasn't very happy with that. I ended up spending way more time than allotted and just told her we are launching it. It was so frustrating to get to that point because I don't like being snippy with my clients. It definitely taught me not to work with people I've had bad experiences with again, and also not to take referrals from people who refer me to not so great clients. Okay, so I think it's also safe to say, Brandon and I have both been here in terms of maybe, well, I think we've both done this too, having a client that maybe wasn't, you know, not horrible, but maybe not your most favorite experience, and then agreeing to work with them again, hoping for different results. But I also think an important lesson, maybe like a micro lesson in here, is thinking about your processes with clients and having an expected way that you give and receive feedback, because, or like the amount of revisions that you're willing to make, that kind of goes back to scope of work, but specifically the way that you're going to receive feedback from a client overall. Because I've also been the recipient of 20 plus emails a day because the client is putting like one thought in one email as, you know, they read through. So I think having an important, or I think having a way to receive client feedback is really important.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely with copywriting, obviously. Mm-hmm. I learned the hard way. Literally a year ago, I did a copy project with someone that was really big. And at the time I was using Voxer as a way to communicate with clients, which I realized wasn't my favorite way to do that anyway. So I stopped using Voxer, but she was sending me all of the copy corrections over Voxer. And they would be like these 3-minute long corrections, and getting copy corrections over a voice message is really hard, because they're like in the second sentence in paragraph 4. And you're like, this is kind of miserable. So from that point on, I was like, I can't, this is just too hard for me. Now I always do like a video recording when I send off a project to someone, and I start the video by saying, here's how you're going to give me corrections. And I show them how to do it. And it might seem kind of like juvenile to them. They're like, you don't need to mansplain Google Docs to me, Branda. But I want them to know exactly what I'm expecting from them, and there's not any questions. And I think also going back to talking about like not working with people again that you've not had a great experience with, or it wasn't a great fit. And sometimes it's not always that the client is like a horrible client. Sometimes it just really wasn't a good fit. Like I didn't jive with the project. I just didn't enjoy doing it, whatever. But I will actually take notes in my client management system, and I'll just write down like clients that I don't feel like are a good fit for me to work with again. And if that client reaches out in the future, you know, I don't necessarily say to them like, I don't want to work with you, but I'm just kind of like, no, hey, here's a referral to someone else, or, you know, I'm not really open. My calendar isn't open to do a project right now. And it's not like a bunch of people, but I just want to make sure that I'm not going to put myself in the situation again to work with someone that wasn't a good experience, because I have done that before. And just like the story, it usually isn't a good experience the second time around. It usually didn't get better. It's the same problems. Okay, here is our final story. And this one came to us in a DM. They said, one of my previous clients got pissed when I said that tech and automation work would be at a higher cost than my normal VA rate. She was threatening to ruin my reputation in the Facebook groups that she was in because she felt like I was bait and switching. When I said, we better end our contract, she put out an ad for someone to do the work for $15 an hour, and she was able to find someone within 3 hours of calling it quits. Okay, this is a quick story, but I think it says a lot in just a few words, which is that if you have a client that's like threatening you, I think it's definitely a good call to end your contract there. I know ending contracts can be really hard. I've been put in situations before too, where I'm like, this is really awkward and I don't really know where to go from here, but clearly we're not going to be getting along at this point, and it's probably better that we just call it quits. And sometimes it is less costly on your emotional health to just call something quits and maybe not get the full payment out of something than it is to try to work through the project and be miserable the whole time.
Definitely. And I've had really kind of only one experience like this. I used to lump my strategy sessions, which again, this is a learning experience that I had to go through to think about like what my deliverables are when I'm having a strategy session with somebody who's trying to launch something versus like general quarterly planning for their businesses. And one time, I don't even remember who it was, but I did have somebody fight back because my launch strategy sessions are $200 more than my regular general like quarterly business planning sessions. Because I mean, you get a lot more. Like a launch plan is like way more intricate, way harder to do. It also includes 10 emails, you know what I mean? And like a sales page template. Like it includes a lot more than just, not that my strategy sessions don't include anything, but it includes a lot more. And I did, when I first changed my prices, which was like 2 years ago, and made it a total like separate entity, I did have people be like, well, why can't I just pay like your general strategy session fee? Well, because it's not the same thing, people. So I think that it is important to, and I'm glad that this person could recognize and value that, yeah, like her set of tech skills is more highly sought after and like therefore more valuable than general like VA services or whatever she was doing for this client before she like was doing their tech stuff.
Yeah. Not only is it more sought after, but it's, I'm sure she had to do more training, more learning. There's more experience involved in that. So I'm glad that, you know, we talked about that earlier too, with like emails, right? Launch emails versus weekly emails. There's a lot more that goes into that. And I think, again, being honest with clients about that, and I'm glad that she was and told her like, hey, there is a difference. Like there is more mental work. There is more time that goes into me doing these types of things. So yeah, it's not going to be the same rate. And if you're not happy with that, that's totally cool. Clearly she found someone willing to do it at $15 an hour, which can be kind of infuriating sometimes to see that as a service provider. You know, I think we all wish people would charge what they should get paid for something so we can set the bar a little higher for certain things, but it is what it is. If someone wants to do it for $15 an hour, hey, that's up to them. So
we hope this episode helped you feel a little better about those tough client experiences you've had.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd appreciate it if you'd follow us on your favorite listening app, leave us a review, and share this episode on Instagram. Thanks so much for joining our conversation today. If you enjoyed this episode, please head to your listening app and leave a quick rating and review.
If you're on Instagram, share this episode and tag us at Duxbury Digital and at The Relevant Collective. We'd love to hear from you. We'll meet you back here next Tuesday for more practical strategies to take your business from chaos to conversions.